hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up and loud.
All right, folks, hour two of the National Intel Report on this Friday. Thank you for joining us today. It is the 9th day of May, 2008. Now, here is the letter from Ben Novak, the founder of Americans in Europe for Ron Paul. And he writes this letter to Paulites, as he puts it, everywhere. He said, "Dear Paulites, for some time I've been pondering two questions. First, why is Ron Paul working so hard to collect delegates to the Republican convention when John McCain already has it all sewed up? Second, if Paul doesn't have a chance at nomination, why does he look so happy and confident? Then it occurred to me, perhaps he has a strategy to win it after all. So I thought about it for a long time and realized that he could indeed win it, so I decided to buck up your spirits by telling you how he's going to do it." Now, the Strategic Foundation, he says, "Much despair seems to have come over Ron Paul's supporters because of the disappointing results of the primaries. But I suggest that this despair results from a misestimation of both the character and the genius of our candidate, for Ron Paul intends to win this campaign and has brilliantly planned every move in it to arrive at this point. Victory is only one short step away. All it requires is that the delegates to the Republican convention consider the dilemma facing their party as the September convention approaches. Their thinking will begin with the polls, which show John McCain's support growing weaker day by day. Although McCain has the advantage of being the presumptive Republican candidate, while the Democrat candidates are still tearing each other apart, both Clinton and Obama's numbers have begun to rise above McCain's. Now, if this continues through the summer, delegates will begin to consider the following five reasons why. First, McCain's position on the war is gradually sinking in. Two-thirds of the voters oppose the war and want to get out. McCain not only wants it to continue, but to expand it into Iran. And not only expand it, but have it go on endlessly. Now, McCain has joked in public about changing the words of the popular hit song of the Beach Boys from Bar Bar Barbaran to Bomb 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 Iran, and speaks with approval of keeping American troops in Iraq not only for 100 years, but 1,000 years, and even speaks of 1,000,000 years. Now, delegates will soon begin to think about what this means for the fall campaign. As soon as they do, however, nightmares may replace their dreams of victory. They will have visions of Democrats playing the tape of McCain's little jig on Bomb 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 Iran to the tune of Bar Bar Barbaran over and over again, until that tune, together with McCain's words, are singing in the head of every voter in the country. They will then flood the country with ads featuring McCain's comments about staying in Iraq for 100 years, 1,000 years, or even 1,000,000 years, until McCain is not only identified as the war candidate, but the candidate of endless war. Now, McCain has given Democrats the opportunity to focus their whole campaign on his mad love of war. Every older Republican will remind every younger one of the little girls picking flowers with a mushroom cloud rising behind her, television commercials that the Democrats used to devastate Barry Goldwater and his campaign in 1964. Second, as America heads into recession, voters rate their fears about the economy even higher than their concerns about the war. But McCain will be unable to take advantage of this because he's so weak on pocketbook issues. He has little knowledge or background in economics, fiscal policy, trade, job creation, etc. Anything he proposes now will sound political. Either Clinton or Obama will crush him in the debates on these issues. In the end, McCain has no other issue other than war. Third, to win this election, Republicans must overcome the unpopularity of President Bush, whose ratings are now the lowest of any president since polling began. Democrats are already painting McCain as a Bush's third term, and McCain has done nothing to dispel this. Rather, he has predominantly sought and obtained Bush's endorsement. Soon, Republican delegates will have to face the question, what possible reason can be given to voters for extending for a third term the most unpopular presidency they have ever known? We'll continue with this right after this break.
Pain It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with this. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Fourth reason here with this letter from Ben Novak. Instead of wooing the Republican conservative base, McCain has made his maverick reputation the hallmark of his campaign. But how does one build a base of trust and consistent loyalty on a confessed maverick except under threat of war? With McCain, there is no other basis for unity but war. Finally, McCain has few charismatic qualities. He has a few dedicated followers and personally excites little enthusiasm. His sole claims to leadership are his prisoner of war hero status and expertise at war. Thus, he has no choice but to focus this election on his strongest points, war and more war. If Republican party workers intend to make up for their candidates' enthusiasm deficiency, they will have to become very excited about war. Considering these factors, it is very likely that before the summer is out, every Republican delegate will be sick in the stomach at the very thought of what McCain campaign will do to the Republican Party. John McCain will be seen as the losingest Republican candidate since Bob Dole or Barry Goldwater, maybe even Alf Landon. And I don't even know who Alf Landon is. Judging by the results in Pennsylvania primary and the Minnesota, Missouri, and Nevada delegate selection meetings, such thinking appears to have already begun. But isn't it a done deal? But so what? What does all this have to do with Ron Paul campaign strategy? Doesn't McCain already have enough delegates pledged to win the nomination? Isn't it too late to be thinking about all this? Isn't the whole thing a done deal? No, it is not a done deal, not by a long shot. Now, by the time I finish with this, I think you'll agree that Ron Paul's strategy is the most brilliant since Harry Truman's whistle-stopped his way to the biggest political upset in American history. So let me describe how it's going to play out. The convention. The most exciting event to look forward is to the Republican convention. There will be a huge platform fights about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the proposed attack on Iran, reducing our commitments to defend other nations, and reducing our military presence overseas. Then there are the domestic issues, paring down the federal government, following the Constitution, ending deficit spending, rescuing the economy, all fought over conservative principles upon which the GOP was once based. In these initial skirmishes, the McCain forces will probably win, but the result will be that McCain will be perceived as less and less of a conservative and less of a Republican. Fewer and fewer red state delegates will be looking forward to having him in their districts after the convention. Then comes the chance they have been waiting for to show their displeasure. When Ron Paul's name is placed in the nomination, there will be one of the biggest floor demonstrations and outbreaks of spontaneous enthusiasm in the history of political conventions. When Ron Paul speaks, pandemonium will break out. It will be far more exciting than the Republican convention of 1976 when Ronald Reagan almost won, more exciting for television viewers than the riots at the 1968 Democratic convention. Indeed, it will surpass the Democratic convention of 1948 with its fights over civil rights and the Dixiecrats walking out. But the Ron Paul supporters will not walk out. Instead, Ron Paul will be asked to endorse McCain, which he will refuse, as he has already refused because of the war. The party must then and there face the stark choice between nominating the war candidate or choosing another nominee, all under the glare of the biggest television audience in history. The key to all this is not simply the war, but continuing war, expanding war, endless war, that will rivet television viewers around the world. For this will be overriding issue of the convention. Cameras will focus on the faces of the Republican delegates as they agonizingly come to realize that the image of John McCain as the candidate of endless war will not only define the coming election, but will also define the image of the Republican Party around the globe for a long time to come. And let me say this. People are watching from around the world, and this is not hype. This is not political stuff here, folks. They want to know what America's next move is going to be because they're against this foray into the Middle East as well. And at least in some foreign countries, they openly discuss it. Here, all you get is the prepackaged neocons. Now, let's take a brief glance at the past. Now, such a future does not look rosy if one considers history. In the middle of the first half of the 19th century, the Whigs were one of the two major political parties in the United States, capturing the presidency several times. In 1852, the Whigs nominated General Winfield Scott, a war hero whose stance looked to the electorate as inevitable, leading to the war. Now, Scott decisively lost the election, and the Whig Party never recovered. Its next convention in 1856 was so small and dispirited, the party simply disappeared. Abe Lincoln was a Whig, but he learned the lesson, never become a war candidate. He left the Whigs to join the nascent Republican Party. But although he subsequently became a war president, his stance in the campaign was not war, 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 but save the Union. John McCain looks destined to be the Republican Party's Winfield Scott. Now, let's go back to the present here. By the time the platform fights are over, the choice before the delegates at the Republican convention will be stark. Either go ahead and nominate McCain, though this will mean electoral defeat and the disappearance of the party, or scuttle McCain. But can John McCain be scuttled is the question. It seems impossible, since he has more than enough pledged delegates to win the nomination, but it can easily be done. All that is necessary is for a few hundred of McCain's pledged delegates simply to call in sick on that day of balloting. That will be enough to deny him the nomination on the first ballot and open the convention. Is it likely? It depends on whether or not the delegates begin to sense the electoral and party disaster looming ahead. If, for example, Romney and Huckabee grasp what a McCain candidacy will mean to the party, their juices will flow. They will have to decide whether to continue supporting McCain or call in sick or join the fray, acting either idealistically to save the party, for each imagines itself as the future candidate, or selfishly to win the nomination for themselves this time. They may not only hold on to their pledged delegates, but canvass for more. At the time, spreading the idea that McCain can be stopped by encouraging McCain delegates to stay in their rooms or balloting day, for balloting day, for if McCain fails on the first ballot, all pledged delegates, even McCain's, are released from their pledges and can vote from whomever they want. Now, if this scenario plays out, by the end of the first ballot, the convention will suddenly be wide open. Whom will it be? Whom will they choose? There will be four hats in the ring. McCain's, of course, will still be there, plus Romney, Huckabee, and Paul. After the first ballot, the convention will be deadlocked, none of the candidates appearing strong enough to clinch the nomination. Delegates will be arguing among themselves. If McCain can't win because of his war position, neither can Romney or Huckabee, because each of them is as committed to the war as McCain, Huckabee even more so. Neither can change his position without losing his last shred of credibility. More importantly, however, if either Romney or Huckabee emerge from the convention, that denies the nomination to the man who won most of the primaries. It will look like the worst case of political manipulation since, well, pick one. Now, let's take another little sneak peek into the past. The Whigs denied the nomination to their own sitting president, Millard Fillmore, who had assumed the presidency upon the death of the Whig president, Zachary Taylor, in order to nominate Winfield Scott. Now, Fillmore had wanted peace and continued negotiation between the North and South in order to avoid a war, while the convention wanted a stronger position, thus they rejected the candidate with the best claim to the nomination, their own sitting president. This, plus the fact that Scott was a Southerner whose election would likely bring war doomed the party. I don't understand what that meant, but at any rate. Now, let's fast forward back to the present. This will be what the Republicans want to avoid in 2008. But did they have any other choice? Fortunately, they do. For that is precisely what Ron Paul has all the while foreseen, carefully positioning himself to save the party and win the election. And again, the question is this possible? Would the party ever turn to Ron Paul to save it, considering the following factors in relation to how Ron Paul is positioned, and then decide for yourself? How Ron Paul has positioned himself to save the party and win the election. First, whether McCain, Romney, or Huckabee is the Republican nominee, the Democratic candidate will get the anti-war vote. Only Ron Paul can effectively counter this, for he is the only candidate who is genuinely opposed to the war. Both Clinton and Obama are beholden to the war lobbies and dare not offend them. Though they are allowed to indulge in peace-sounding speeches, so as long as their backers are confident that they will toe the line once in office. And let me give you an example of that. The dismay of the Democrats out there, because remember what the midterm elections were all about, folks? We're going to get out of Iraq war immediately. That's what we're running for, and people elected them on that issue. What did they do? Well, here it is 2 years later. You tell me what they've done. Zero. Absolutely nothing. All right. But when confronted by Paul, neither Clinton nor Obama will be able to continue speaking out on both sides of their mouth. Only Ron Paul can effectively make this an issue, catch them both up, and win the anti-war vote of both the left and the right. And if you remember when his campaign first kicked off, folks, there were people that were walking away from the Democrats in droves. I personally spoke to staunch Hillary Clinton supporters, said, no, I've heard Ron Paul. I hear what this guy's about. I'm not backing Hillary Clinton. All right. Now, second, neither Clinton nor Obama will be able to deal with Paul on the issues or in the debates. Compared to them, Paul is the only candidate of real change, and he will make both Clinton and Obama look like the biggest defenders of the status quo since Herbert Hoover. Now, Paul will have all the initiative, and they will be completely flustered. Paul raises issues of war and empire, economics and deficits, debt and trade, jobs in the Federal Reserve, and currency devaluation, taxes and spending, and most of all, the meaning of the Constitution. Remember the rule book? From a perspective that neither Clinton nor Obama is prepared in the least to deal with, voters will get the drift. Paul is the only one talking about real change, which is what voters have been hollering for the most. None of the slogans of Clinton and Obama have used all their lives will work against Paul. We'll continue, finish this up on the other side of this break, and I understand I've got Carol Asher. She's still online. And I will talk to Carol Asher that sent this article over. And I'm glad that she did. We don't talk enough about Ron Paul and the chances of this guy actually being in the White House in 2009.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children, and for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul has not quit the race and is going stronger than ever. Since our last ad, Ron Paul delegates have won major victories in Missouri, Nevada, Texas, Alaska, Colorado, Louisiana, South Dakota, Minnesota, Florida, and many others. Many do not understand how the election process works. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. Ron Paul has a plan, and he wants you to become a delegate, which are first voted in county, state, and then the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win to find out more on how you can become a Ron Paul delegate in your area. That's ronpaulflags.com. Remember, buying a Ron Paul flag will keep these important ads on the air. So stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526. Buy a Ron Paul flag today.
Finishing up with this, folks. Thus, Paul and only Ron Paul can truly energize the vast distrust felt toward Clinton and Obama and politicians in general. Not since Abe Lincoln or Dwight Eisenhower have the voters seen such a candidate, and both of these amply demonstrate the powerful attraction of such integrity. Boy, there's a word that's not often used in conjunction with politics, integrity. Ron Paul will shine like the sun compared to the lunar mendaciousness of Clinton or Obama. Fourth, besides the war and the economy, Paul has created a whole other set of other issues that will not only make this his opponents cringe, but provide perfect sound bites. Now, voters will be asked, for example, will you vote for the Democrats or the Constitution? Are you for preserving your jobs or NAFTA? Are you for manipulation of the currency or against the Federal Reserve? Should America follow the advice of the founders or keep up in entangling alliances? Can Americans afford the cost of policing the world? Does invading other countries really make us safer? These issues can energize almost the entire Republican base and will put Paul's Democratic opponent on the defensive from day one. Imagine Clinton or Obama trying to defend the IRS or the Federal Reserve or explaining the Constitution. They will become laughingstocks, and Republicans will not have had such a good time since Ronald Reagan asked, "Where's the beef?" I think he put it, "Where's the beef?" or however he said it. dear Ronnie. Finally, when Ron Paul emerges from marginalization and obscurity to which the mainstream media have consigned him up until now, he will assume the mantle of an American, the little guy who has always been put down but kept fighting, and to whom his party finally tuned in and turned to when they are in their direst need. Now, he alone fits the classic American image of Valley Forge, George Washington, emerging from two solid years of defeats to win a stunning victory over the British at Trenton, thereby saving the American Revolution. Even though, or more so because Ron Paul lost all the primaries, he will be seen as the new Honest Abe, who rose from losing every election until he's finally called to the presidency. Ron Paul is Benji NG, or the little engine that could. Now, finishing up here, the genius of Ron Paul's strategy, the true genius of this strategy will be seen and how this strategy works out, because Ron Paul is guaranteed to win either way. On the one hand, if the Republican Party wakes up to the disaster it's facing, it will have no choice but to nominate him. On the other hand, if the GOP does not nominate Paul, the party will crack up after November, after which Paulites will easily take over. Perhaps they will have to change its name, but in the end, there will only be two political forces in America, Ron Paul versus the Democrats. And so, according to Ben Novak, my fellow Americans in Europe, for Ron Paul and other Paulites everywhere, fear not and do not waller in despair or dismay. Rebrighten your eyes, refill your hearts with confidence, and redouble your efforts. Thanks to Ron Paul's strategy, the future is ours. I've got Carol Asher online. I don't. She dropped. Okay, what's the deal here? I didn't refresh my computer screen. And it says, Carol, you didn't correct me earlier, and you let me kept repeating that. You need to throw something at the window. Get my attention. Mr. Producer, that's your job, to keep me from making a fool out of myself on the air. Well, kind of. At any rate, Carol called in and says, thanks, though. Carol in Pennsylvania. Hello, Carol. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Hi.
The other day, I had some coins I bought maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And then about a year ago, I bought some coins from Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to trade some of them in, and I didn't want to trade the ones in I got from Robbie, but I got, they were offering me less money than what I paid for them from Robbie.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the other coins I made a nice profit on, and the ones I'm talking about were the British sovereigns I got from Robbie. I mean, I was flabbergasted. They didn't at least offer me, you know, at least what I paid for them.
Well, but keep in mind, when you do trade coins, okay, you're paying a certain percentage, hopefully not too large, but people are a little confused at buying at spot. They see, okay, spot gold price is this today. That's what the brokerage houses have to buy it for. Okay, they buy it at that price. They'll add in a small percentage, and that's what brokerage houses do. They operate on volumes of business. Okay, and then the other traders out there purchase from these large gold and silver companies and then retail it to the public. These gold and silver houses do not compete with the brokers out there. They're just the disbursement arm. So if you buy a coin and you say pay a 4 or 5% premium on that coin, when you go to sell that coin back, you're never going to get the price that you paid for it. It will always be less. Now, that depends, Carol, let me finish. That depends on what the premium was that you paid for the gold or silver coins to begin with. If you paid a lot on it, if you've got ripped off at 30 or 40%, and then you turn around and you try to sell them and people are saying, well, I can't offer you for that. I would go broke if I was trying to redeem that coin at that price that you paid. Well, therein lies the difference. It depends on the premium that you pay for the coin in the first place with your initial purchase. And I'll let you ask any further questions or respond to that right after this break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hi, this is Dave from Ready Reserve Foods. I have been waiting patiently for the government and mainstream media to inform you of what is turning out to be the biggest problem facing the world in the last 50 years. For the last 3 years, the Earth has consumed more food than it has been able to produce, and it has now finally caught up with us. In the U.S., commodities such as flour and rice are already being rationed, and the next rice crop won't be available for another 4 to 5 months. It's fall in the Southern Hemisphere, and many countries are short the food necessary to make it through the winter and have stopped exporting certain commodities altogether. Remember our trade deficit? Trillions of dollars have stacked up outside the country and are now rushing in to buy our food production at any price. By late summer, if not early fall, it is likely our government will step in and control food and food exports under martial law. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit us at www.readyreservefoods.com. 1-800-453-2202.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right. You know what? I've got a couple of minutes here, and I saw this. This is on republicbroadcasting.org, and a Wolf Blitzer, and keep in mind that he was a highly paid consultant for AIPAC, okay, and this is before he became, and this is a younger Wolf Blitzer, this is probably 15, 17 years ago, on the issue of Palestine versus Israel, and I want you to listen very closely. What one of the leading anchors, and he's, boy, is he promoted by CNN. Now, on the other hand, you've got Fox with their pundits. I mean, and this is a psyops. They bring up everybody that has any rank and any notoriety from the Pentagon for a blitz on the American people of why we should go in and attack Iran right now. Now, I want you to hear this from a Wolf Blitzer 17 years ago in his position on Israel versus the Palestinians.
The chair would now like to address Mr. Blitzer. This question is interesting. I'll have to edit it a little bit. You implied that Israel has the right to exist because of what happened to the Jews during World War II. Why in Palestine? Don't the Palestinians, too, have the right to a secure homeland? Why do they have to suffer and make way for the Jews?
Look, we can go back and we can argue over the birth of Israel, justice of the birth of Israel. We can argue over whether or not there should be an Israel. There is an Israel today. There's a strong Israel today, a vibrant Israel that is not going to disappear. Palestinians have missed opportunities. There is an opportunity today. I don't see any useful purpose in arguing over what justifications Israel has to exist. Israel has all of the justifications in the world to exist. And I don't even think it's appropriate to question the reason why Israel exists. Thank God that there is at least one Israel, an Israel where Jews can live if they want to. They don't have to live there. But if they need refuge, if they want to live in a country that is a Jewish homeland, that's fine. And I think, as I said before, all of us should be delighted that we happen to be around at a time in this world when there is this Israel. Zionism is an ideology. It's the national liberation movement of the Jewish people. To deny Zionism, to reject Zionism, is about as racist an element as you can get. Why should all of these people, Palestinians and others, deserve a homeland if the Jews can't have a homeland? Have not the Jews suffered enough all of these years to have a homeland? Have not the Jews developed an identity, a culture, a religion? Sure, the Jews deserve a homeland. And there's an opportunity now to resolve all of these problems. It's not going to be an easy, there's no quick fix solution, but it has to involve compromise, recognition of mutual rights, but certainly, given the history of what's going on over there, anybody who ignores the security problems facing Israel, certainly the Israelis aren't, whether they're Likud or Labor or whatever, certainly anyone who does ignore those very, very real security problems in the Middle East, a dangerous neighborhood, they're going to be doomed to destruction. And I don't think that the Jews at this particular point in our history are prepared to accept that.
I wonder if I can comment on that.
No, I'm afraid you can't comment on that. I'm sorry, because I've got a question for...
Let me just add one point.
What you're going to hear next is Norman Finkelstein.
I'm going to give you a question to work from, because I want to make sure as many people in the audience feel honored as like we can possibly manage. This writer says, the Intifada is not an isolated problem. This problem is affected by four wars, terrorism, and the Holocaust. Why is it not relevant, in your opinion, for Israel to be secure?
Well, that nicely brings me back to the former question I'll answer. And I'll answer both at the same time. I suppose it wasn't missed on anyone in the audience that Mr. Glitzer was deploying that same familiar lawyer's tactic. The question that was put to him was, if we accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, why don't we also accept the legitimacy of a Palestinian state? And then Mr. Glitzer went on to tell us all the good reasons why we should accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, something which, by the way, I concur with. But that still doesn't answer the question. If one does accept the legitimacy of the state of Israel, why doesn't one also accord the same rights to self-determination and statehood to the Palestinians? That was the question, as I understand it, that was put to him. Now, the issue of security was raised, and somebody made an inaccurate inference that I'm not concerned with the security of the state of Israel. I am. I'm also concerned about the security of a Palestinian state. Again, we have to apply the same standards across the board. Israel is ranked as the fourth leading military power in the world. Does it have real security claims against the Palestinians? Let me quote to you former Foreign Minister of Israel, Abba Eben. He said, Israel has as much to fear from a Palestinian state as the Soviet Union does from Luxembourg. How many people here feel the Soviet Union has a real threat from Luxembourg? Furthermore, if we apply the logic of Abba Eben, the Soviet Union had more rights to occupy Afghanistan than Israel does to occupy the West Bank and Gaza. Because certainly Afghanistan poses a greater security threat to the Soviet Union than Luxembourg. How many people here support the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan? Now let's look at what Amos Oz says in his most recent book, The Slopes of Lebanon. He asks to me, even though I am no great admirer of Amos Oz, he asks to me a reasonable question. What does Israel, the fourth-ranking military power in the world, have to fear from a state that would be one-fifth the size of Albania and one-half the population of Kuwait? Is that a real threat to the state of Israel, or is that simply an excuse to continue the occupation? Israel faces as much of a military threat from the Palestinian state as the United States did from Grenada. Now, surely Ronald Reagan, or perhaps Ronald Reagan, believed that Grenada posed a major security threat to the United States, exactly as George Bush 2 weeks ago again affirmed that Nicaragua poses a major national security threat to the United States. Nicaragua, which has to its credit 2 escalators and 1 elevator, poses a national security threat to the United States. It seems to me applying the same standards as Abba Abin uses and Amos Oz uses, we have to dismiss this totally spurious notion that Israel is maintaining its occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for security reasons. It has very good reasons to maintain the occupation, but I'm afraid to say they have precious little to do with security.
That was actually almost 25 years ago, and I'll tell you, as the camera panned back, that was Dr. Norman Finkelstein, not a self-hating Jew, okay? And you heard that he says, you know, Israel has a right to exist. But you should have seen Wolf Blitzer. He spanked Wolf Blitzer badly, and he didn't answer the question. And in reality, folks, when you look at Israel versus Palestine right now, in 1948, the nation state of Israel was created. Now, you have to ask yourself the question. And Wolf Blitzer said, yes, there should be more. You know, I'm glad there's an Israel. There, you know, maybe... There, you know, the implication was that there should be more than one Israel. You know, that they need a safe haven in which to go to. Why is that? Why have Jews around the world been kicked out of country after country after country after country? And I attempted to bring this thing to light in past programs that when we use the term Jew, folks, we are talking about Zionism. We're not talking about Jews, because Torah-believing Jews, and I'm not talking about the Talmudist, I'm not talking about the Kabbalist, we know what their issues are. As Wolf Blitzer said, oh, it's a political movement. Zionism is a political movement. Zionism, ladies and gentlemen, has been the root and the base of which communists have sprung, where socialism comes from. The Zionists, and I will say this, and I will make no apologies, Zionists, or Zionism, or false Jews that control the world's banks, that have gone in and controlled this government to a certain extent, control the medias in this country, and all that we get is apologies for Israel. Now remember that Israel is a nation state. They got their land from someplace, and it was from the state of Palestine. And what Israel has been doing is occupying good portions of Palestine, and as Finkelstein pointed out, they're doing it for security reasons. There is no security reasons there because they should not be there in the first place. It was a Palestinian homeland. It was their land. Part of their country was ceded off to Israel to make that nation state. And ever since then, they had been militarily occupying Palestine. And by the way, when the Palestinians resist, and we're talking civilians here, resist an Israeli occupation, what are they called? They're called terrorists. And I'm going to put something forth to listeners out there, that you're seeing this going on worldwide, that any resistance to the globalists and their agenda and the New World Order, guess what you're called, folks? You're a suspected terrorist. Now, this is no accident. And I hope and I pray that the people that heretofore that have public venues that have not come out and forthrightly spoken the truth will now find the courage to do so, rather than being a mention on a Fox News program by Jerry Rivers or whomever. I would hope that those that have a voice of reason. Now, am I here calling for the destruction of Israel? Absolutely not. The country is there. People are going to have to deal with it. But the United States is supporting a country that they themselves are engaged, if you want to use the term, terrorism, military terrorism, against a civilian population. What has the United States done in Iraq? What were we told the reasons for going into Iraq? The United States military waged war as well against Iraqi civilians. Now, you don't see a whole lot of pictures on the national news of what is done to the Palestinians, the broken and shot up babies, the blown apart bodies, people being hauled off to jail, people standing in front of that, I think it's almost 70-foot or whatever wall that they have been walling off the Palestinians from their own land, folks. And we're giving billions of dollars of support to this country that is militarily and terroristically waging war against civilians. How many civilians in Iraq have died at the hands of U.S. military? And again, you will not see the pictures of the carnage. You will not see the deformed babies because of being exposed to depleted uranium. You will not see the suffering of the Iraqi people. They've been whipsawed, beat up, way before even the United States got in there, by England itself. Look at the current map. The reason why you're seeing the countries with their borders over there the way you are, it is directly because of the English. Now, and again, I am not anti-Semitic. All people on this planet have the right of existence for life. But when you are backing people that are militarily occupying and killing innocent civilians, and they were there, folks, they were there. When you have something like this going on, and I must add, what other nation in the Middle East is a threat to Israel? Think about this. No other country. Iran is continuing with its nuclear policy for power generation. And I've said before on this program that whether Iran wants to build a couple of nuclear weapons for self-defense against Israel, that a country that has 400 nuclear weapons of every imaginable delivery device. Would we have been comfortable in this country at the height of the Cold War with the Soviet Union if somebody suggested and we dismantled our nuclear arsenal in the United States? What do you think would have been the end result of that? But just on the assumption by a lot of the neocon and pundits and supporters of Israel that, my God, these people are going to create nuclear weapons and they're going to cause all kinds of chaos. They're going to launch them against the United States. No, if for any reason Iran wanted to build a nuclear weapon or two for their own defense, do they not have the right to do that? And the New World Order, folks, I'm telling you, the New World Order plans to rule from Israel. Now, is that a mistake? Is that just a coincidence? It is not. And I beg of the other talk show hosts that will not talk about this in a sane, logical fashion. You are doing a disservice to your listeners. You are not telling them the whole truth. And I am not one. How many times have you heard me talk about the USS Liberty? How many times, folks? I've mentioned it a couple of times. I've talked about it. I've interviewed guests. But that's as far as some talk show hosts will take it. But they will not talk about the very people that are putting together the New World Order. They will not. They will not touch it with a 10-foot pole. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because it might be damaging to their careers. And I weep for that. I have gone beyond feeling sickened by it or saddened by it. Yes, do Jews have a right to exist? Absolutely they do. Do Iranians, Iraqis, Albanians, Russians, Chinese, Japanese, do they have a right to their existence? You bet you they do. Think about what I am saying, folks. And I'm not telling you to pull your support from people that won't talk about it, but my God, what are we facing in this country right now at the behest of the globalist?
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul has not quit the race and is going stronger than ever. Since our last ad, Ron Paul delegates have won major victories in Missouri, Nevada, Texas, Alaska, Colorado, Louisiana, South Dakota, Minnesota, Florida, and many others. Many do not understand how the election process works. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. Ron Paul has a plan, and he wants you to become a delegate, which are first voted in county, state, and then the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win to find out more on how you can become a Ron Paul delegate in your area. That's ronpaulflags.com. Remember, buying a Ron Paul flag will keep these important ads on the air. So stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526. Buy a Ron Paul flag today.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
I have said on the Israel issue before that the Israelis must withdraw behind their own borders and make peace with their neighbors. What we're being told is Muslims are the greatest threat to our religious freedoms. They're the greatest threat to our security. Whereas we didn't have any problems in the Middle East prior to our involvement with Israel and their quest to occupy. And the roadmap to peace, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you look at the neocons, you take a look at the proposals, and you're looking at, they're attempting to make a run-up. George Bush is getting desperate here. The attempt for the run-up for an invasion of Iran. No more wars for Israel, folks. No more wars for Israel. Let them deal peacefully with their neighbors. Let them make peace. Michael Herzog. Hello, Michael.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
You hit a nerve with me.
What's that?
You remember that night way back in March, April, somewhere at Fast Eddie's in Round Rock, and we got into a major, major argument because you wanted me to come on and talk about this subject, and I wouldn't talk about it. Uh-huh. I just refused, and I almost walked out of the network over it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And but being the investigator that I am, and like a dog with a bone, I went down the rabbit hole on it. And I just wanted to come on and let the listening audience know that everything you're saying is 100% concrete, right. And I learned that through my investigation, John, and I learned a lot that I did. I've learned a lot since I've been on the network. You know that. Okay, but one of the things that is concrete, one of the things that I will preach from high heavens is exactly what you're saying. Okay, and yes, you're right. These talk show hosts that don't talk about it and shy away from it because of they want their numbers up or they want to sell a video or whatever they want to do, okay, these people aren't on the air for the right reasons because the truth needs to come out, John, and you're telling the truth, my friend.
Well, and Michael, I appreciate that. And it must be said that the marching orders are from the people that control the world's economies. The public opinion outlets, television, radio, magazine, whatever. It is at the behest of these globalists to build their global order. We have got to either strike at the root of this and ferret it all out, expose it, let people make up their minds about it, and then have done with it. Because you're right. They're performing. I will not say, Michael, and a lot of people might be thinking this right now, that you know maybe some people are on the payroll because they don't want to talk about these issues. Well, I don't think that's the case. But I think they're afraid to. They're not showing intestinal fortitude, and they're not showing courage. It must be discussed, and in an open format, and logically.
John, when you take people that are, for example, Ernst Zundel, who's a Holocaust revisionist, he's not saying that the Holocaust didn't happen or they didn't intern Jews along with a lot of other people. Okay, but when you take somebody like that and you kidnap him out of the United States of America and he's now incarcerated and he's been in prison for the last 5 years because he wants the record set straight, it tells you that, yes, the Zionists are part of it. They are part of a larger arm of people who want to suppress the truth. Look at Ted Pike, the Paul Revere of the airwaves here, that is been, you know, on the airwaves talking down the hate crime, trying to get, look at this guy in Illinois, this kid that was just arrested, okay?
Right.
I think maybe you reported on that. This is going on. It's insidious, it's selective enforcement, and it's fear-mongering. It is time that the people stood up, and the time is now. The time, it's late, John. We've got to get this out.
And you know what? And if there is going to be a chance for less war and more peace in this world, the cards have got to be laid on the table. And real diplomacy and real sanity and reason must prevail. Must prevail.
Amen, my friend. Amen, my friend. Hey. Have a good weekend, John.
All right, you all too, right? Michael. I appreciate
right.
it. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right. What else can you say, folks? I mean, there's my cards. They're laying on the table. And if I'm not the most popular talk show host in alternative media, well, then so be it. But I'm going to attempt and endeavor to be the most honest. Because I want what everybody wants. I want freedom. I want liberty. I want peace. I want my life back. We will see you Monday. Thank you for listening.
Men